Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Good Girl's Guide to Being Bad by Cookie O'Gorman. Narrated by Madeline Dower. Chapter 1. I'd made it to senior year with my V-card still intact, which was easier to do than they made it seem in the movies. Heck, I'd gone all 4 years of high school without getting so much as a kiss. I still refused to count that time with Billy Cunningham. Him attacking me, open-mouthed like a zombie, slobbering on my neck while I scrambled away, did not a kiss make. Gross. Honestly, unlike some of my classmates, I'd never thought it was that big a deal. Still, it was on my carpe diem list. The kissing, not the sexing. Was that even a word? Gah, I was so out of the loop. But now it looked like even a kiss might be off limits. I closed my eyes, shook my head. The official documentation of my eternal virginal status was burning a hole in my hand. Complete and utter devastation. This wasn't happening. Career aptitude tests could be wrong, right? Right? The problem was, I'd hoped this test would give me some direction, tell me what to do with my life. Everyone else in our graduating class seemed to know what they wanted to do, but I had so many interests in so many different things that, yeah, I'd needed this. The CAT was supposed to be my guide. My gaze snapped open and stuck on the one sentence that would change my life forever. Based on the test results, Sadie Elizabeth Day is ideally suited for a career in religious or clerical work? My best friend barked a laugh. You've got to be kidding me. I frowned. I wish. What did you get?
Arts and entertainment, he said. Duh.
But Sadie, it says you're meant to be a nun.
Kyle,
I hissed, glancing around the crowded hall. Everyone had likely already heard. I mean, this was the kind of thing that made headlines in high school, and Mrs. Jeffries had, to my horror, announced the results aloud. But still,
holy smokes, could you say it any louder? I'm thinking they might not have heard you in the freshman building.
Sorry. His eyebrows rose. But I thought that rumor was a joke. A nun? Seriously? Sadie, there's no way.
And there was my best friend. Aw, thanks,
Black and white are so not your colors.
And there was his inner smart aleck.
Plus, good luck fitting all that amazing hair under a habit.
Kyle reached up and pushed a long blonde strand behind my ear. You're hilarious, I said, fighting down a blush, hoping he didn't notice. The strand of hair stayed for about a second before springing back out. Kyle was right, of course. My hair had always been unruly, curling even after multiple passes of the straightener, frizzing at the smallest sign of humidity, slipping out of any rubber band. It was the wildest thing about me.
But man, a nun?
There has to be a mistake, he said suddenly. You'd make a terrible nun. You can't even sing.
What does that have to do with anything? Kyle tisked like I'd asked the dumbest question ever.
All nuns can sing. Just look at Julie Andrews, Whoopi Goldberg, Sally Field.
Hey, genius, I cut in. Those are all fictional nuns.
Au contraire, Kyle said, holding up a hand. Let's not forget The Sound of Music was based on a true story. I sincerely doubt the captain would have fallen for Fräulein Maria, played by the incomparable Julie Andrews, if she hadn't been able to carry a tune. And you, my dear sweet bestie, are no Julie Andrews.
I shook my head. Why are we friends again?
Hey, it's not my fault you're 100% tone deaf.
Kyle sniffed, running a hand through his perfectly styled hair.
As to why we're friends, well, you've always had excellent taste.
In desserts, yes. In best friends, well, I'm not so sure. He gasped, head thrown back.
You wound me.
Despite myself, I laughed. If I hadn't fallen in love with Kyle Bishop Jr. in my formative years, everything might have been different.
But what fifth-grade girl in her right mind could resist when he was oh so fine and nice and clean-cut and polite? And everything I'd been Stockholmed into thinking was Prince Charming by good old Walt Disney. Kyle, my first boyfriend, had been all that and more. We'd watched movies together while he braided my hair, played dress-up with Kyle being pirate to my assassin disguised as damsel in distress. Kyle could work wonders with a mascara wand. We held hands, passed notes, shared lunches, and it was perfect. I'd thought it was love. I'd thought we'd be together forever, married with kids, happily ever after. Until he came out to me in eighth grade. The funny thing was, it hadn't changed anything. Nothing important, anyway. Knowing that he'd never love me back hadn't made even a dent in my affection for Kyle. I guess that should have been my first clue. Being in love with your best friend? Not so bad. Being in love with your gay best friend? Even after you find out he's gay? Yeah, there was no getting past that one. Besides, far as I knew, high school guys didn't go for girls who, A, had crazy hair and too many curves, B, literally would pick a cardigan and pearls, they were just so classic, over anything remotely on trend, and C, always had their nose stuck in a book. Oh, crap. Maybe I was destined to be a nun.
Hey, Sister Sadie, wait up!
Jerk alert, Kyle muttered as Zane Humphreys and crew stepped up to us, his usual smug grin in place. Besides being born with a name that immediately put him on the douche list, Zane was the typical jock-jerk combo. His sport of choice, lacrosse. His favorite targets, me and my best friend. The three of us had gone to school together since middle school. Kyle and he had despised each other nearly as long.
Did you want something? I asked.
Yeah, he said. I have some things I need to confess.
I sighed. This had been happening since we got the CAT results in homeroom.
Come on, Sister Sadie.
His lacrosse buddies snickered at the nickname.
Since you're all tight with the big guy upstairs, could you put in a good word for me? I've been a bad boy, and I'd appreciate the help. Unlike you, I party every weekend, get drunk, hook up. There's been a lot of hooking up.
The laughter got even louder as I blushed. But seriously, who said things like that?
Isn't it like your job to pray for us sinners and all that?
Newsflash,
Kyle said.
She's not actually a nun.
Not yet.
Zane shifted to face him, that stupid grin still in place.
But she will be, right? I'm just getting my confessions in early.
I think you're beyond my help, I said.
Oh, and why's that?
Douchebaggery isn't a sin. It's an incurable disease. I shook my head sadly. Sorry, I can't help you there.
Zane wasn't smiling anymore, and his co-captain, Billy Cunningham, yes, that Billy, took a step toward me.
Is there a cure for being a bitch? Billy said. 'Cause you could use some of that.
Hey,
Kyle said, frowning.
That was out of line.
Billy shrugged him off.
She started it.
Kyle's turn to shrug.
Actually, your boy here started it, and Sadie's my best friend. I won't stand by and listen to you idiots badmouth her.
See, this is why I fell for the guy in the first place.
Back off, faggot.
Hey, I snapped. Don't talk to him like that. Billy scoffed.
Who's going to stop me? You or your faggot friend?
I was about to speak up, tell Billy to shut the heck up, when a long arm came to rest heavily around Billy's shoulders, making him grimace. A moment later, a new voice joined the conversation, a voice I loathed to the tips of my toes.
No, no,
it said, low and soft.
There's no need for name-calling.
Luckily, today he wasn't focused on tormenting me.
Speaking of which, are nuns supposed to use words like douchebaggery?
Or maybe he was.
I'm thinking that would be a black mark on your record, sister.
Rolling my eyes, I looked up and came face to face with my longtime nemesis.
Colton Bishop was the spitting image of Kyle. They were identical twins. Same ocean blue eyes paired with ink black hair. Same long, lean frame. Except where my bestie was all preppy Prince Charming, his twin would definitely be the villain of any story. Unlike Zane, Colton was a true bad boy. Everything from his rep for getting into fights, to his playboy persona, to his I-don't-give-a-darn attitude put me off. He grinned at my look of disdain and cocked a pierced eyebrow. I would have killed to be able to pull off that look. Instead, I said, "For the 100th time, I am not a freaking nun." Blue eyes looked me over, taking in my beat-up sneakers and well-worn jeans, my gray cardigan, pearls, and my crazy hair. His eyes were twinkling by the time they met mine.
"If you're going to dress like that, you might as well be."
"Colt," Kyle said, shaking his head.
"You may be my brother, and I love you dearly, but I'm going to laugh the day she decides to punch you in the face." "She wouldn't," he smirked.
Seeing his attention was elsewhere, Billy tried to wriggle away, but Colton tightened his grip.
"She's too good for that." "I wouldn't count on it." "Plus, she loves this face."
I felt my cheeks getting hot as he sent a knowing nod his brother's way.
"Isn't that right, Sadie?"
Through gritted teeth, I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
"Every girl loves it,"
he said with a wink.
"You just won't admit it."
Kyle shook his head again.
"Seriously, man, $20 says she does it before graduation." "20? I'll take that bet." "Knew you would."
They shook on it, and I shook my head.
"It's just too easy. Sadie would never do something so violent." "One of these days,"
Kyle said, smiling as my glare intensified.
"She's going to do it, Colt. Just punch you in the face."
Colton pretended to think for a second.
"Do nuns actually punch people in the face?"
I threw my hands up and started walking in the opposite direction.
"But Sister Sadie, I wasn't done confessing!"
Zane called to my back, just as Colton said,
"Now, Billy boy, are you going to apologize to my brother, or are we going to have a problem?"
Ignoring them both, I reached my locker, but couldn't get in because Jeff Chan and his girlfriend Addison Corbin were going at it again. Every day I saw them making out. Every day I was almost late for history because of it. And every day I thought, geez, don't their lips ever get tired? I cleared my throat, loudly. The two separated long enough for Addison to shoot me a glare and for Jeff to say,
"Sorry, sister,"
before they moved down a locker. 2 seconds later, their lips were once again suctioned together. "Don't call me that," I muttered, quickly exchanging my books. Sniffling brought my attention to the girl across the hall. Could have been worse, I thought. I could have run out of homeroom crying like Serena Douglas. She'd turn white as a sheet when her results said she was destined to be a TV producer. For someone else, that would have been a great result. I, for example, would have been over the moon ecstatic. TV producer? Life set on a course to Hollywood? Yes, please, sign me up. But for Serena, who it was widely known had been training to join the Peace Corps and whose parents had taken her on missions overseas the past 3 summers, it was a dagger to the heart. "Hey, Serena," I said. We weren't exactly friends, but we'd been in the same homeroom since 6th grade. Plus, I could kind of relate to how she was feeling. "You okay?"
"I've had better days," she said, wiping the tears away. "How you holding up?"
"Not too bad, all things considered. Wondering if my hair will actually fit under a habit, trying to see if I remember all the lyrics to Climb Every Mountain. You know, the usual." A surprised laugh escaped her.
"You're funny, Sadie. Thanks."
"I try," I shrugged.
"And hey, I guess as long as you wind up meeting your Captain Von Trapp, it might not be so bad,"
Serena said. I nodded as she waved and walked away, her eyes looking less glassy than they had moments before. At least one of us was feeling better. The sting of my test results was still sharp, But unlike Serena, I chose to wallow in silence. Silence was good. Silence was relaxing. It was exactly what I needed.
For real, Sadie, where do you get these clothes?
Dear God, why? What had I done to deserve this?
Are they specifically designed to put guys off, or is that an unintentional side effect?
Spinning around, I looked up into Colton's eyes and forced a smile. Is your voice specifically designed to make girls want to vomit, or is that a side effect? Colton, the jerk, laughed.
Touché.
Where's Kyle? I asked before he could say more.
Still back there with the jock squad.
And sure enough, looking over his shoulder, I could see my bestie still talking to Zane Humphreys of all people. He'd left me to deal with his brother solo. Great. Did you make Billy apologize?
Yeah,
he said, face suddenly serious.
Nobody talks like that about Kyle, not while I'm around.
Good, I said. We couldn't agree on anything else, but we agreed on this. Both of us wanted to protect Kyle. It was one of Colton's only good qualities, in my opinion. I guess you're not all bad.
And I guess you're still in love with my brother.
Eyes narrowed, I shook my head. Seriously, do you say things like that to make me want to run away from you? Because it's working. Instead of backing down, he leaned in.
Usually girls run toward me,
he said, voice low.
Not away, but you never did. Why is that?
The question caught me off guard. Plus, for some stupid reason, his closeness made my heart beat faster. Ugh. My back was pressed against my locker, cool against my heated skin, my heart pounding as he stood close, close enough to smell his surprisingly pleasing aftershave. But this was Colton freaking Bishop, for goodness sake. Could you back off? I said, trying to put a little distance between us.
No.
No? Colton shook his head, those blue eyes looking amused.
Maybe I'm just too much for a good girl like you.
You definitely are, I thought, but I'd die before admitting it.
Maybe that's why you went for Kyle.
His lips tipped up at the corners.
A less hot, much safer choice.
Hate to break it to you, I said, lying through my teeth, but you're not that hot, and I'm not in love with him.
Not in love with who?
Kyle joined us, and Colton eased away while I had a mini panic attack. It wasn't that I thought Kyle had overheard us. I just wouldn't put it past Colton to out me to his twin, my bestie, and yes, the only guy I had ever loved.
Who's Sadie not in love with?
Kyle repeated, looking back and forth between the two of us. No one, I said, begging Colton with my eyes. Kyle had no idea, as far as I knew. None. And this would ruin our friendship. I'm not in love with anyone. Colton stared me down a second longer, then finally said,
You think you are. One day somebody's going to prove you wrong.
What the heck was that supposed to mean?
You guys are acting really weird,
Kyle said as I gaped at his twin.
And hey, thanks for the backup, Colt. Billy's an asshole. No problem,
Colton said. The two clasped hands and did one of those one-armed guy hugs. Before I could really take in what was said, my phone went off. It was an email. It was the email I'd been waiting on for a month. But as I read, face paling the farther I went, it was so not the response I'd hoped for.
What's up, Sadie?
It was Kyle's voice. But I couldn't speak. I felt like the rug had just been snatched from underneath me.
It can't be that bad,
Colton said. Taking the phone from my numb fingers, he began reading out loud.
Dear Miss Day, we have received and viewed your video submission to be featured on Dancer's Edge Media. Though we appreciate your efforts, there is something missing, an edge, if you will, to be included on our channel. Your videos are too nice. Your choreography somewhat dull, and your point of view lacks real-life experience. For these reasons, we unfortunately will be unable to accept your work at this time.
Shit. That last part wasn't in the letter, but if I cursed, I'd agree with him.
Don't let it get to you, Sadie,
Kyle said.
What a bunch of pretentious assholes,
Colton said.
You can always try again.
I shook my head, not in disagreement, but like someone coming out of a dream or returning from battle.
Come on,
Kyle said.
This is like what, your third rejection?
Seventh, I said. Kyle winced. This is the seventh time they've rejected me, but it's no big deal. Rolling my shoulders back, I lifted my chin, tried to believe my own words. Rejection is a normal part of life. There's no way I'm giving up, but it's always the same. Too nice, lacks experience, no edge.
You've got to admit they have a point,
Colton said. I looked up, and even if he was the bane of my existence, his look of pity spoke volumes.
Come on, Sadie, you're like Miss Nice Girl. Shut up, Colt.
Kyle shot him a glare.
She doesn't need that right now.
Colton cocked an eyebrow.
What she needs is the truth. I would have thought being her best friend, you'd be honest enough to give her that.
Turning, I asked Kyle. You agree with him?
Not really,
Kyle muttered. Not really?
Well, you are nice, Sadie, he said. If what they want is an edgy, mean girl type, that's not really you.
I'm not that nice, I said, finally coming to my own defense. I'm kinda edgy. I mean, sure, I was an honor roll student who stayed out of trouble, much to my parents' delight, and yeah, the dances I'd sent in to Dancer's Edge were mostly happy, fun pieces and not the dark and or sexy stuff they usually featured. And okay, yes, I preferred weekends spent in my room binge-watching TV, playing video games, or reading instead of partying. Besides my gay best friend, books were my first love. So sue me. That didn't mean I wasn't edgy, did it? A second later, Colton, who was born without a filter, answered that one as only he could.
You're about the least edgy person I know.
I started to argue, but Colton held up a finger.
You wear the clothes of a prissy librarian.
Another finger.
You don't hook up.
A third.
Shit, you don't even swear.
A fourth.
You don't drink.
A fifth.
I haven't seen you at a party. Well, ever.
I tried to think of a cutting retort, something to really knock him down a peg. You're such a jerk, I said in my most menacing voice. It wasn't good enough. That was clear by the answering grin on Colton's face. I was just starting to realize that when you didn't swear, your options in the insult department were severely limited.
Face it, Sadie,
Colton said.
You're a classic good girl. If those idiots want edgy, you ain't it.
It was so close to what Kyle had said, I had to grit my teeth. While I silently fumed, setting his brother on fire with my eyes. Seriously, would a good girl do that? Ha! Kyle tried to change the subject.
So, Sadie, Kyle said, you coming over to study tonight? And by the way, who the hell puts a physics test on a Monday? So wrong.
No, I can't tonight, I said, still staring straight at Colton. As a matter of fact, I have a party to go to. Colton laughed.
Oh, really? You can't be talking about Eric Green's kegger.
It's a different party. Lifting my chin in my coolest Ice Queen voice, I said, the guest list is pretty exclusive. I guess you didn't make the cut. And with that, I made my grand exit, Colton's laughter and words echoing in my ears. Chapter 2. The stereo was blasting Elvis Presley, the room was packed with people, and I was the youngest person in attendance by at least 50 years. I hadn't lied. This probably wasn't Colton's idea of a party. Actually, strike that, it definitely wasn't Colton's idea of a party. One, there wasn't a keg in sight. Two, All the women were completely covered up, most of them wearing slippers. 3. It was 7 p.m., and the party would end at 8:30 p.m., bedtime for most of the residents. 4. The only fight that usually went down in this crowd was over who won at bingo. But who the heck cared what Colton thought anyway? Certainly not me.
Sadie, would you be a dear and get me a slice of cake? I think Edith's already on her 4th piece, the wretch, and I'd at least like a taste of my birthday cake.
Sure, I said, and got up to cut my oldest friend a slice. Birthdays were a big thing here at Shady Grove Assisted Living. On the main table, where Edith was, in fact, sitting, licking the icing off her fork, was a pound cake with a replica of the king, courtesy of yours truly, and it was going fast. Streamers hung from the ceiling, balloons blanketing the floors, and a banner on the wall read, "Happy 79th birthday, Miss Betty." The residents were migrating around the room, catching up and sharing gossip. As usual, the TV in the corner was turned to the game show network, volume loud enough to compete with the music. The place still smelled like a weird mix of Lysol and baby wipes, but everyone looked happy enough. When I came back and handed her the plate, Betty smiled. Her teeth were all crowns, she'd once told me, but they gleamed better than the real things ever could.
Thank you, dear.
Welcome, I said. As she closed her eyes to savor that first bite, I gave myself a mental pat on the back. I knew I'd found the perfect cake. It was blueberry pound cake, Betty's favorite, infused with real blueberries and vanilla frosting. A blueberry glaze drizzled over top.
This is divine, she breathed. Just divine.
I had to go all out, I said. It's not every day you turn 79. Betty shot me a look. You getting fresh with me?
No way.
I held up my hands.
Better not be, she said, pointing with her fork. I have it on good authority I don't look a day over 60. It's my mama's classic bone structure.
She gestured to her face.
We Lockhart women always look at least 10 years younger than we actually are.
I eyed her perfectly round cheeks, smooth skin enhanced by foundation, eyes brightened by too much for daytime mascara and perfectly applied eyeshadow. Her lips were ruby red. Betty never left her room without her face on.
You do look rather fabulous, I agreed.
She smiled again at that.
As do you, but you could use some lip gloss.
I rolled my eyes at that. It was an old argument, but Betty wasn't done.
And mascara! What's the point in having those amazing blue eyes if you don't showcase them? You've got to use what the good Lord gave you, Sadie, and he certainly gave us more than most.
She took a breath, then jumped right to it.
Did you know that old John tried to kiss Edith? That old bat wouldn't even know what to do with a man like him.
Oh, and you do you?
She sniffed. I'll pretend like you didn't say that, dear. But of course I would know what to do. Men are easy as apple pie for a woman like me. But really? Edith Dewhurst? The man obviously has no sense of decorum.
Apparently not, I agreed.
And that Trask is no better. Just the other day he swatted me on the backside.
Betty widened her eyes in feigned indignation.
I mean, I can't really blame him for wanting to do it. But where have all the gentlemen gone?
That's a good question, Betty, I said, trying to keep the laughter out of my voice.
So what did you do? Well, you know, I felt bad for the man, so I let it go. But if he tries to get frisky again, you bet your sweet self I'll set him straight.
She took a quick breath.
And then you won't believe what Verna said to me the other day.
I listened as she gave me a full rundown of all the Shady Grove gossip, the two of us moving to the rec room next door for board games and bingo. A lot happened behind these assisted living walls. My parents hosted senior night at their ballroom studio on Saturdays, which was how I'd met Betty 4 years ago. She was the main reason I spent so much time at Shady Grove. We had instantly bonded. Betty and I both loved movies. She'd been a celebrity makeup artist in her younger years, though she preferred the term Hollywood.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?